Canto 13. Now we were on the top step of the stair. A cutback in the mountain greeted us a second time. There was a terrace there, ringing the hill with lesser radius and thus a sharper curve. No shade, all bare, no carving. Just the blank road and the bank, the livid stone. "If we should wait to ask," the poet said, "our choice may, to be frank, be left too long." And so he made his task to stare into the sun, and of his right side make a pivot, and bring round his left. "You that I trust on this new road, sweet light," he said, "to show us through the warp and weft of this place we need guidance in, you give warmth to the world to match the light you cast. Unless grace argues otherwise, we live according to your beams from first to last." Already there, we'd gone what we would call a mile here, made quick by our eager will, when we heard spirits flying that were all voices. Unseen they flew to us, to fill the air around us with their biddings to love's table. And the first voice that flew past shouted, "They have no wine!" And as it flew beyond us, cried the same thing, and at last was almost out of earshot when the next went by us crying, "I'm Orestes!" Nor did that one stay. "Father," I said, perplexed, "what are these voices?" But there was one more. It said, "Love those from whom you've suffered wrong." My guide, "The sin of envy meets its scourge in this round, and of that scourge every thong flaying that disposition must emerge from love. And thus the curb that speaks against the sin must sing the virtue. You will hear that sound, if I judge right, when we've commenced our entry to the Pass of Parton. Near us now, if you look straight ahead, you'll see people before us spaced along the cliff." With wider eyes I looked in front of me, and there sat shades in cloaks that looked as if they shared the color of the stone. And when we went a little further, I heard cries of "Mary, pray for us," of "Michael," then of "Peter," and "All Saints." Still my mind tries in vain to think of just one man alive on earth today, so hard he'd not have been transfixed by pity. Nor did I arrive so near them that their movement could be seen without the eyes that saw them being wrung by great grief. A coarse haircloth seemed to wrap their figures, and one from the other hung on proffered shoulders, side by side, no gap, all propped up by the bank. Just so the blind and destitute turn up to beg at church, as if they sought indulgence, and you find them leaning on each other, and you search your pockets, moved to pity, not just by their words, but by their looks, which plead no less. And as the blind take, from the sun on high, small profit, so the light brings no largesse to these shades in this place I speak of here. All had their eyelids stitched with iron wire, like untamed falcons, and it did appear to me that my effrontery was dire. Seeing these others while I was unseen, I turned to my wise comfort. Well he knew what my embarrassed silence had to mean, and said, "Speak to the point, but speak up, do." As we walked on the terrace past this scene, Virgil was with me at the edge where one might fall, for that side had no parapet. And on my other side I saw tears run, bathing the cheeks of those shades I see yet. Devout shades. But their eyes were ghastly seams remorse from envy, forced their weeping through. To them I said, "The one aim of your dreams, to see the light on high, will come to you, you may be sure, and grace will then soon clear the scum your conscience builds, so that the flow of memory may run without a smear. In view of that, pray tell me if you know, and if you do, I'll hold the kindness dear, if anyone Italian is among your number, if I'm told it may be well for him." And then I heard someone give tongue. "Brother, there is a truth you need to tell. All here are of one city. If there were any that lived in Italy, then say they lived as pilgrims. This polite demur came from, I thought, a little up the way, so that I raised my voice. Among the press I saw a shade marked by expectancy, and if you wonder how I came to guess, it raised its chin the way the blind do. Be frank with me, spirit, I said, you that bow to mount up high. If it was you I heard just then, your name and city, tell me now. Siena, she replied. And in a word, I cleanse myself here of my life of sin like all the others, weeping to him that he give himself to us. Wisdom was in my name, but not in me. My name fell flat, Sapia, for I rejoiced in others' hurt far more than at my own good luck, and lest you think that I deceive you, I assert the truth, that when the ark had passed the crest of my years, I was mad already. My townsmen were in Valdesta, but the foe joined battle with them. And that day on high the thing was willed that I had prayed for. So my nephew and his Ghibelline pigsty of suckers up were hounded down the track of bitter flight, and as I watched the chase, gladness beyond bounds seized me. I threw back my head and aimed at heaven my bold face, crying to God, I fear you now no more. Just like the blackbird when the sun returned, near death I sought God's peace, and I'd be sore pressed for a lessening, or so I've heard it said, of all my debts by penitence, had Peter the comb-seller, holy man and hermit, not wrapped me in his immense mantle of charity. Yes, he began to put my name in his petitions, mine! But who are you, that as he goes inquires about us, and I think I can divine speaks with the breath, whose eyes are free of wires? I too, I said, will lose my eyesight here, but only for a little. My own sins in envious looks were small. A greater fear suspends my soul until it slowly spins. I mean the grief below, brought on by pride. That load is with me as this climb begins. And she, you're here with us. Who was the guide that brought you up, if you think to retrace your steps? And I, he that is with me, who does not speak. And I live. Now by the grace to which you've been elected, spirit, you have not yet asked, as others in your place have done, if yonder I can speak and move on your behalf. Ah, she replied, so strange is this to hear, that it's enough to prove God loves you. Somehow then you might arrange to help me with your prayers. You, I implore, by what you crave most, if you ever tread the soil of Tuscany, that you restore my name among my kin. You'll find them spread among that vain race who wait for their dream in Talamone. Yes, our own seaport one day, but now a long and fevered scheme for losing money, of the self-same sort as our eternal quest to find the stream that flows beneath our land. Siena, sail on wings of fantasy. How can you fail?